If you make that little oof noise every time you stand up, yeah, that's your knees talking. Go see Joint Relief Institute. Fast relief covered by Medicare, 708-888-0000, as in zero pain.
Last Tuesday, we talked a little about how so many of us are often targeted by online scams. This morning, digital and social media strategy expert Scott Kleinberg joins us to help focus on how to spot these scams before they do any damage. Scott, good morning. Before we get to your tips, what would you say is the most important thing that we need to know about this?
Good morning, Bob. I would say the biggest thing to remember is that scams are always trying to get you to act fast. These scammers want you to panic. They want you to click. They want you to hit reply. They want you to call back telephone numbers. Mm-hmm. And they want you to give up information before you have any time to think about it.
Right. They want to put the pressure on us, don't they?
They really do. And, you know, if a message comes across and says your account is locked, your package can't be delivered, your payment failed, or you need to verify something immediately right away, you want to slow down because that urgency is one of the biggest warning signs. It all sounds horrible, and it's likely that none of it is real.
Hmm. All right, let's talk about email first. What should people look for there?
Well, a spam or a phishing email often feels a little off, even if it looks polished. So the sender's address may be strange. The greeting may be vague. The message may push you to click a link or open an attachment. Now, if it looks like it's from a company you know, don't just trust and go by appearance. Look closely at the email address and the link before doing anything.
And you really have to look closely. It's getting harder and harder to spot the fakes, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, they get smarter every single time we do something, they try to strike back.
And when you say look closely at the link, explain that.
Sure. If you hover over a link on a computer or you press and hold it on a phone without opening it, you can often see where it really goes. It gives you the information. If the address looks odd, misspelled, or unrelated to the company, that's a red flag. And even if it looks close, don't automatically assume it's safe. Scammers are very good at making fake links look believable.
Okay. What else would make an email suspicious?
Well, there are a few things. There's bad spelling. There's awkward wording, there's strange grammar, and there's messages that just sound so dramatic. Real companies usually don't send emails that feel rushed or sloppy. And also, if the email is asking you for personal information or passwords or credit card numbers or a code sent to your phone, that is a strong warning sign that something is wrong.
Okay, we got that. What about text messages? And there are more and more of those scammers, scam text messages these days, aren't there?
Absolutely. This is actually called smishing, which is quite simply fake text messages. They often claim that there's a problem with the delivery, with a bank account, a subscription, or a bill. And the pattern is the same as email. They want you to click a link or respond quickly. If you don't recognize the number or the message feels completely unexpected, treat it very carefully.
So the same rules apply here?
Very much so. Don't tap the link right away. Don't call the number in the message. If it claims to be from a business you use, go to the company's official website yourself or use a phone number that you already know is real.
Mm. Yeah, that seems like a good habit for just about everything. And Scott, you talk a lot about calling directly to these businesses. Call your credit card company and don't click into any digital communication, right?
Bob, I believe in that so much because scammers' biggest advantage is getting you to react before you verify. If you pause and confirm through a trusted source, you take away their advantage.
Lindholm Roofing has appointments available now to provide you a complete roofing, siding, gutter, and tuck pointing inspection. Call 773-283-7675 or lindholmroofing.com. Tell them that Lou sent you. Lindholm Roofing, their family has your family covered.
With Scott Kleinberg talking about staying safe online, what about phone calls, Scott? We get a lot of those, don't we?
Yes, and that is called vishing. So vishing is a scam phone call or voicemail, especially designed to sound official. It might say it's from your bank, it's from the IRS, Medicare is calling you, a delivery company, even grandchildren. Sometimes grandparents get these messages that say they're from their grandkids. Sometimes the caller sounds very convincing and creates a sense of urgency or fear.
Yeah, there we go again. If it sounds urgent, beware, be suspicious, right?
Yes, that is absolutely right. If someone is trying to rush you into paying or sharing information or call me back immediately, that's a red flag. And a real company usually gives you a way to verify the call. A scammer wants you to stay on their line and not check for yourself.
Right. And I was recently reading about people who get these calls and then stay on the line because they want to have some fun with someone they know is scamming them. So they'll give a fake identity, try to waste the scammer's time. Oh. And this is not something we should do. Explain why, Scott.
Bob, I could talk to you about this for hours. The minute you engage with someone online in that way, you think you're having fun with them, they automatically know that this line is active. So think of it this way. You get a scam text message and you ignore it and you go about your day. Or you get a scam text message and you're like, I have to respond to this person and just have some fun. All of a sudden, that scammer knows that there is somebody at that number and there is a way to scam them even further. That is the absolute worst thing you can do. You always have to just forget about it and just move on and do not troll them back.
You're giving the scammer what they want when you engage, right?
You're giving them exactly what they want, but most importantly, you're telling them that your line is active. They have no idea when they reach out to you that you that there is an active line. All they have is a phone number. Mm-hmm. They reach out to that phone number, nobody responds, and that's the end of it. Or it's not if you keep it going.
Let's talk about voicemails. What's your advice on voicemails?
Well, I would say the same advice applies. Never call back the number left in the message without checking it first, because if it's really your bank or your doctor's office or another legitimate business, you can always use the number from their official website or a statement or something that you already trust.
Are there other things that we can look for besides the message itself?
Oh, definitely. And the details matter. Look at the URL if you're on a website. A real company website should usually match the company name clearly. We were talking about hovering or pressing on a link before. If you see extra words, strange spelling, or a web address that feels like a random jumble, be very cautious. And also, if the page you're on has a lot of pop-ups, very weird design, or it's requesting information that seems very excessive, it is worth backing off.
And we say this often, if it feels off, it probably is, isn't it?
That is so true. And often, you know, yet it never seems like enough when we say it, because people don't need to be experts to spot a lot of scams. They just need to be willing to slow down and trust that there is an uncomfortable feeling.
What about those fake notifications that we get on the computer or on your phone?
That's another common trick. You know, a pop-up might say your device is infected, your account is at risk, you need to call this number right away, take action. A real security alert usually comes through your device settings or a trusted app, not a loud random message that's shouting at you. So if you get a notification that seems dramatic, or you could even call it noisy, close it first and check the actual app or website separately.
Yeah, the fake ones tend to feel loud, don't they?
Loud, and like we said before, it's just a little bit off. They're designed to scare you, and the goal is to make you click before you think, when in reality, it should always be the other way around. Mm.
What else should we consider?
Well, never use the contact information that comes inside a suspicious message. If you're going to check on something, go out of your way to find the company's phone number or its website some other way and start there.
I think people get in trouble when they're in a hurry or they're multitasking, but your message is slow down and verify, isn't it?
That is exactly right. You need to slow down. You need to check the sender, check the link, check the website. And if you are even the slightest bit unsure, go directly to the company yourself, because these habits can stop so much trouble before it starts.
Yeah. Common sense. Not too common, though. And that, what you have there is really practical advice, isn't it?
And Bob, I think that's the key, because you do not have to be a tech savvy person to protect yourself. All you need to know is the common patterns that are out there and trust the process of checking before you click.
Yeah. I mean, we're just bombarded by so much of this now, phone calls, texts and emails, and so many of them are phony. And, you know, I wonder about the people who generate all of these scams. I guess they're in it for money, aren't they?
They're in it for money. It's easy to do with automation systems. And there are enough people out there, unfortunately, from all these studies that we've seen and talked about last week as well, there are plenty of people out there falling for it. And you hit a really, really good point. You said there's so many of these out there. That's just it. If there's so much of it out there, that extra second that you take just a step back to think about what you're actually seeing. Some of these messages say things like your account is overdue, but you have no idea what account they're even talking about. So it's one of those things where you just have to stop, just give it a little bit of attention, realize what it is before making a move.
Yeah. You know what? This is a great conversation to send to some older folks who need to know this. A little after 10, we'll post this conversation and you can listen to it and check it out and send it to anyone. Just go to our show page later at WGNRadio.com. Let's get to the Genius Bar question of the week. And let me read this text, Scott. This just started happening. Gmail makes me put my password in twice. After I log in once, it doesn't open. The login page appears again, and I have to put my password in again. I do not have two-factor ID set. I cleared cookies and catch, whatever that means.
That is actually, well, clearing your cache just means your history, and doing what you've done so far is good. I've seen this before, and I may have two other ideas. Number one, if you have two Gmail accounts, a work email and a home email, or just two different Gmails in general, sometimes having multiple Google accounts open at the same time can break the memory. So it doesn't know what you're logging into, and it asks you for a login twice. Now, if that's you, sign out of every Google account that you have and then sign in on the primary account, the one that's asking you for, I guess the one that's asking you for the duplicate, password. See if that solves it. If this is not you or that doesn't solve it, I would open a private window, a private browsing window, and try to log into Gmail. If it works on the first try, then you know it's something in your settings on your browser. You're probably your ad blockers. You may have a privacy extension. Something is blocking that login where it's forcing it to come up a second time. So then if that's the case, you'd want to go into your browser settings and turn those off one by one, whatever those ad blockers are. One of those two things, from what I've seen, normally is what it is. I don't think it has anything to do with two-factor authentication. I think it's just trying to, it's like you're asking it a question and it doesn't know exactly how to answer it, so it asks the question again.
A lot of good advice, as always, from digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. Thank you, Scott. Appreciate it, as always.
Absolutely. Take care, Bob.